I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. 'Cause this time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around, it's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP.
Radio.
High five.
Hello, my fellow DDP Yoga warriors. It is Wednesday night, 9 p.m. We are here at the DDP Yoga penthouse suite of the DDP Radio Megaplex. My name is Mike
Thank
Mullins.
You.
As always, you can find me over at Mikey90%.com. And as always, and per usual, I am joined by the eloquent and elegant Stacey Morris from StaceyMorris.com. Stacey, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Good to be here tonight. How are you guys?
Oh,
doing good.
Excellent, excellent. And, of course, gracing us with his rugged good looks and invaluable insight, ladies and gentlemen, he is the Robbie Robertson to my Leif Von Helm. That's for you, Kat and Brian. The incomparable Robert McLaren. How are you, my brother?
Doing good. I'm not sure I have rugged good looks, but I'll take what I can get.
We had a lengthy discussion on my Facebook page with one of my favorite people in the DDP Yoga community, Kat Arnett and Brian Duren, which we had on the show a few weeks ago. And I had to put the band reference of Robbie Robertson and Leif Von Helm, just a little shout out to them, so they'll get it. Probably no one else will, but that's what I do. We got a really fun show for you tonight, and we were discussing before we came on air because we didn't really have a plan going into this show. You know, sometimes we plan out and take, like, you know, copious notes and figure out what we're going to do on these shows, and sometimes we just feel the need to get together and just chat and just talk about what comes up and talk about what's on our minds, and it usually turns into a very spirited discussion. And Stacey and Robert, I think you'll agree, some of our best shows we've ever done are the ones where we're just completely pulling out of our asses.
Yeah, I agree, and I think there's so much scriptedness out there, whether it's TV, radio, politics, whatever. It's really refreshing to hear people just really go off the cuff and let things arise spontaneously.
I agree 100%. And before we get into our discussion, I do want to throw out there real quick a couple of dates that we're going to be, the DDP Yoga Company is going to be appearing at. Diamond Dallas Page doing some workshops across the country all over the next year or so. But before we get into that, I wanted to throw a quick shout out to our very own Chris Carey and Nathan. Nathan Mowry, sorry, I couldn't remember his last name, who made an awesome appearance on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast this past week. Robert, I'm sure you probably checked that out, you right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was really cool that he invited them out there and got them on the podcast. And they're a bunch of really cool cats who have contributed so much to this company and are highly underutilized and underappreciated, because you can't fully appreciate what they do until you actually get in there and see how hard those guys work and the creativity behind everything they do and their huge, huge contributions to the Jake the Snake Roberts documentary haven't gone unnoticed by a lot of people. And it was really nice to see them get a little mention and a whole show dedicated to them on the Steve Austin podcast, which you can check out by going to iTunes. And if you Google the Steve Austin Show, Nathan Mowry and Chris Carey from DDP Yoga made an awesome appearance on that show this past week.
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job. And they were I talked to Chris about it a little bit before I listened to it. He was nervous that they didn't come across well. And they came across very, very well. So that was a that was a really cool treat for them. Those guys really deserve something special, and hanging out with Steve Austin would definitely qualify as something special.
And they are such cool cats, too. I get such a kick out of those guys. Mm-hmm. I got to meet Chris. I haven't officially met Nathan in person yet, but, you know, Chris was cracking me up at the DDP Yoga Retreat, and I'm looking forward to meeting Nathan, too. And those guys are just cool. You know, you can't tease cool, and those guys are cool, so...
especially Nathan. He's got, like, that kind of cool factor. Chris is a little bit more serious, but, you know, they're both still awesome, very cool guys. I'm trying to think of... Who's the lead singer for the Foo Fighters?
Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl, yeah. I can't look at Nathan without thinking about Dave Grohl.
I saw that picture you posted of the DDP action figure inspired haircut. By Nathan, and I popped pretty hard for that.
Yeah, I was actually, because every once in a while I'll do a check on eBay just to see who's selling our stuff, and I'll do some, you know, some search for some, like, odd memorabilia from DDP and things like that. And I came, as soon as I saw that picture, I pictured Nathan in my mind.
And he's highly flammable from what I hear, too, so careful.
Yes.
But anyways, we're going to talk about some upcoming appearances. February 6, 2016, hosted by LifeMed Institute, Timonium, Maryland, DDP Yoga Workshop, Diamond Dallas Page is going to be bringing you through a blistering workout. Also, don't forget Pure Yoga, the East Coast Double Shot Workshop, January 8, 2016, and January 9, 2016. NYC and DDP is the place to be, baby. And Pure Yoga has had us on as guests several times, hosting DDP Yoga workshops, and it's always a great time, and they always ask us to come back. So it's really cool that we're going to be heading over there again. We found a bit of a home in New York City at Pure Yoga, so we're looking forward to going back there, and I'm sure there'll be many more trips to New York City to do more workshops as well. Also, the DDP Yoga Inspiration Meets Perspiration Workshop Part 2, in Newport, Rhode Island. We're heading back there as well. June 10th, 2016. And speaking of Kat, I'm sure she's going to be heading over to that one. She's in that area, as well as all my East Coast friends, Steve Langer, the Boston Bad Boy. I'm sure they'll all be there. It's going to be a great time. So you're going to want to head over to Newport, Rhode Island. And the DDP Yoga Retreat Extravaganza, it's almost here again. It seems like we were just talking about that. But the October retreat at the El Dorado Royale, Riviera Maya, Mexico. I'm sure it's probably too late, but if you want to check into it for your own good, head over to ddpyogaretreat.com, and maybe you can squeeze your way on if Sally Jane Smith has a little bit of room for you. And before we get started, I know, Stacey Morris, your calendar is always full, and we're going to talk about your appearances in just a second. But I want to talk about, you just did an awesome book appearance. This past weekend, I saw you were talking about on Facebook. Want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I was in Warren, Pennsylvania, which you guys probably have never heard of. It's a very small, very cute little town in the northwest corner of the state. And it was a private women's club. So I couldn't really promote it, but I got a nice turnout. It was all their members. And I really enjoyed it because it was one of the bigger crowds that I've had, and I could tell I really planted some seeds with people. I got some questions from people with family members with, you know, weight issues, binge eating issues, and it's just a great feeling to know that any part of my story might someday, you know, work to help someone else find their way. And I love traveling. Bill and I, you know, we make a great team. He sets up the tables and takes the money and all that. And I meet and greet and talk to people and hear their, you know, their struggles or whatever's going on. So it was a great time. And no out of state trips planned at this point. I want to do more. But I'm going to be speaking in Albany at the Colony Library. A week from today, actually, Tuesday, October 13th.
That's awesome. And I think your story, I know your story is doing so much good. You know, a lot of people have like weight loss stories and you know, health and fitness stories, but yours is really, it's an honest and a realistic approach to losing weight And I feel like especially women are really relating to your story and your book. I see your Facebook page and people, you know, claiming how much of an inspiration you are. And it's really cool that you're taking such a reasonable, rational approach to weight loss. You know, so many people out there just say, oh, you just got to, you know, work your ass off and just do it. And, you know, that's the case. But, you know, you really tackle the obstacles that it takes for a woman to get through that kind of that situation.
Yeah, well, I've had so many years of, you know, trial and error and discovering through all the, quote, failures what doesn't work and what not to do. And I say this every time I talk to somebody or every time I speak somewhere. Really, my biggest accomplishment and the most important part of the whole picture was me working on and getting the missing self-esteem. And that happened when I was at my former size, because I had the two weight losses in my 20s, the 200-pound weight losses, which I thought was going to magically transform me into this happy, confident person. And it didn't. And that's when I realized, wow, it's not really about the exterior. I was led to believe that. I mean, everyone always told me, just lose weight and you'll finally be okay. Your problems will melt away. And really, if you don't have the inner stuff, if you haven't healed the wounds or at least started to address them, you're still going to be the same unhappy camper, but just at a smaller size. So I think that's what makes my story different, and I don't mislead people, and I'm very upfront about it. It's an inside job as well as an outside job, and the inside part is ongoing. And you know, for me, it took a number of years to really work through some stuff. But actually, you know, people I think would rather hear a little more reality, because there's so much deception out there surrounding this issue and people preying on people like me, that they're actually relieved. They're like, oh, okay, it takes years. All right. At this point, I'd rather hear that than all you need is, a quickie diet or a miracle supplement. And then, you know, because that's just, I don't think collectively we believe that anymore. I think.
No, I mean, because yeah. I deal with a lot of customers. And a lot of times that's their first question, is this a scam or am I being scammed or something like that. We get a lot of that because people are conditioned that in the weight loss industry, everything's a scam now.
Yeah, and rightly so. They should be on guard. And it takes people – well, I knew immediately when I first came to the DDP Yoga website and I saw Arthur's video, I knew it wasn't a scam. Because it was very clear about what was involved, you know? It was actual work. And I really appreciated that bit of reality, because that showed me it's going to be up to me. And this is obviously, it's a great tool, but only as much as I am willing to use it.
Stacey, you had talked about, you know, not being happy and thinking that the weight loss was going to solve all your happiness. Which is what it just made me click to it real quick. I had read something recently, and I'm actually going to read this out loud. It's not too long, but it's a bit. But Kevin Smith, the filmmaker, you've heard of him? Silent Bob Clerks.
Yeah.
He wrote one of the most profound things about being happy and about losing weight. He's lost over 80 pounds. He's cut out sugar. He was really big. He was in a controversy after he blew up at an airline for charging him two seats on an airplane.
I remember that.
But I'm going to read this real quick because I think our listeners would enjoy it, and I think you'd get a little bit out of it too. He wrote a post on his Facebook page. He does these little just, you know, insightful posts every once in a while, and it's called "I'm Not Happy." And I'm just going to read it because I think this will, you know, be relatable to a lot of people on our site. It says, "I'm not happy. I've been around 44 years now, and I've been a round boy for most of those years as well. I've always imagined thinner people were happier than me, but after losing 80 pounds, I can't say that I'm any happier than I was as a fat ass. I'm not complaining, mind you. I just imagined I'd feel differently. I imagined I'd know a different kind of happiness than I'd ever known before. I wound up learning what I consider to be the secret of happiness. As an American, I was raised to believe that I was entitled to 100% at happiness all day, every day, until I died. But in our Declaration of Independence, we're granted only the pursuit of happiness, not actual happiness. The founders of this country were smart not to promise the tired, poor, and huddled masses yearning to breathe free too much of a good thing. The good news is the pursuit of happiness is way better than being happy any day. The irony is that actual happiness blasts across our faces, necks, and chest at all times, but we're too busy chasing the elusive notion of what happiness is to us at that moment. We tend to overlook the authentic bliss we create for ourselves and others in the process of simply trying to be happy. And by the time we realize these were, in fact, moments of happiness, it's too late. Those moments are now memories. Happiness can't be bottled. It can't be smoked, swallowed, shot, or ejaculated. And there's no end game. You never cross the finish line and are just suddenly happy. Even when your wildest dreams come true, you still pursue happiness. Thankfully, human beings are at their happiest when they feel they're most productive. So their only real happiness is the pursuit of happiness. When we chase happy, we feel our best. Life is all about the journey, not the destination. So while the idea of happiness sounds great, it's actually the pursuit of happiness that provides the most contentment, and in that pursuit, we are ultimately at our happiest. Forgive my stoner ramblings, and sorry for the stating the obvious, but sometimes I just want to remind the people that they've already won. I thought that was
nice.
Wow.
I thought that was a really profound statement, because I know for myself, I always think that my happiness is going to be when I, you know, achieve this, and I achieve this, and I'm not, you know, I'm not putting myself over or anything, but I've achieved a lot of my goals in life. I got to tour with like some of my favorite bands ever. I've been on stage literally in front of 80,000 people at a festival, you know, doing what I love to do. And even in that very moment, the thing that I thought was going to complete me, just make my life, you know, everything I wanted to be, I felt like a shallow, empty feeling, because, you know, you're never ultimately going to be happy. It's a weird kind of dynamic, but it was a really profound the way he said it. The pursuit of happiness is kind of, you know, you being happy and chasing that happiness, you're kind of missing actual happy moments in your life.
That's really, really deep, and that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm still letting that wash over me. I agree with a lot of what he says. But for me, I'm older, maybe it's because I'm female. I do experience now actual moments of happiness where I'm not doing anything. I'm not pursuing anything. I'm just letting happiness kind of soak in, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a sunny day or, you know, when we came back, we had a long drive, you know, like 7 hours. And I was just so grateful that we got home safely, you know. That made me really happy. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what he was trying to say is when you experience those moments where you can realize you're happy, but so many people expect, you know, getting to a certain point in their life, and then everything's just going to be better. Everything's going to be perfect.
Oh,
I'm going to get with the girl that I want to be with, and there's not going to be any hardships, any troubles. I'm going to get down to the weight that I want to be at, and everything's – I'm not going to have a care in the world. But, you know – you have to realize that happiness is something that needs to be maintained and work on. And if you truly want to be happy, it's going to take work, and you're never going to be completely in euphoric utopia. It's just never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I am with the girl that I love more than anything in this world, and there's no one I'd rather be with than Katie. But still, there are days when she drives me up the freaking wall, and there's days where it's tough, and when we struggle in a relationship. And, I had someone say to me, like, oh, relationships shouldn't be work. And I came back to him, like, of course it should be work. If relationships aren't easy, then you're not putting in your end of the work. And that goes to the theme of happiness. To be happy, you need to, you know, maintain that and work on being happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, life is, it should be work. I mean, otherwise you're not doing anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that's a cool part of being in any kind of relationship, whether it's a business relationship, a friendship, a romantic one. You always will have tensions and disagreements and things like that, and it's how you work through that. You know, I think it's unrealistic to expect everything should be always smooth sailing with no conflict. I mean, that's just not it's not life, you know, and it's nothing to run away from, and it doesn't mean there's something wrong. But I think sometimes when basic things are too much work or just too unenjoyable, for me, that's a sign when it's time to cut and run or move on, you know?
Yeah, the way I look at it is when something is more negative than it is positive, it's time to do something about that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that actually brings me into what I wanted to bring up for our first kind of topic powwow for today. We talked about, you know, maintaining the work, and sometimes it's not always going to be great. And, you know, I keep my eyes on the DDP Yoga community and Facebook and stuff like that, and I notice that a lot of people in our community who are longtime, you know, members of DDP Yoga and have had incredible successes have been struggling as of late. And, you know, they get down on themselves. What happened? I was doing so well. Things just suddenly got hard. And that's part of the journey. I mean, Stacy, you commented to me before we got on the air today when we were talking about things to, you know, to bring up. And you noticed, you told me you put up a recipe, and someone said to you, "I thought it was easy for you all the time." Talk about that for a second.
Oh, yeah. On my Facebook page and on my personal page, and also on my Facebook, Hungry for the Truth, and on my Instagram, sometimes if I do a quickie recipe, I'll put it up so people get an idea of how easy it can be, you know, simple and easy to do something healthy. So we recently came across some really wonderful seedless Concord grapes, and I have a Vitamix, and I love it. I usually juice with it and make veggie stuff with it every day. So today I made grape juice, and it's like a really healthy, clean version of grape juice with nothing added. And I just said, you know, this is what it is. This is what health and balance is. It's just a simple series of, I think I said, helpful choices. And also it is moving on and forgiving myself for the not so helpful choices. And somebody said to me, "Well, wow, I thought you never did that." And I said, "No, it happens, you know? I mean, I don't think I have ever misled anyone, but I don't mean to mislead anyone. I mean, I know I post a lot of positive stuff, but the truth is, everybody has down days. Everybody struggles. Sometimes I don't make great choices with food. But the key for me is I don't berate myself. I don't overly judge myself. I try to stay honest and aware of why I might have made that choice. But, I think a lot of people with, you know, quote, the success stories, and anyone who starts something like DDP Yoga and all the lifestyle elements that go with it, that anytime you start anything, whether it's a job, a relationship, or whatever, there's that inevitable honeymoon phase where you're on this high and everything's great and you're loving everything about it. And that is not meant to last. I think that's meant to kind of usher in a new phase. But then the honeymoon eventually ends. And I think for some people, they interpret that as, oh, I've screwed up, or something's wrong. I've done something, you know, wrong. And why am I not feeling the way I did a year ago? And it's really just, I think, the cycle of life, you know, ebb and flow.
Well, you know,
you guys agree?
Yeah, it's like the old saying, if it were easy, anyone can do it. And it's I think if you look at society, it's obvious that you know, being in shape and losing the weight isn't all that easy, especially, you know, for some people it's easier for some than it is others, but it's definitely not something that just comes naturally. It's something you have to educate yourself to and work at.
Mm-hmm.
And Stacey, I just want to put you over for a minute. I've had those thoughts myself, and I've tried so hard to put it into words, that feeling of the honeymoon phase, and you just perfectly articulated what I've been trying to say for the past 2 years. It was great the way you explained it, as the honeymoon phase. I tell people that all the time. When you start DDP Yoga, you're like house of fire, you know, just like, you know, everything's awesome. I can't wait to do my workouts. And we've talked about it before. There's going to be a time where it gets hard, and it's going to be less fun. As much as I love this workout and as much as it's good for me, and we've talked about this before, there are days when the last thing I want to do is get on the mat. And that's what's going to separate the victory from defeat, is when you you let that honeymoon phase be your only guiding force. And once that's over, when you continue to push through it when it's not fun and when you're not excited and when you're not having that euphoric high that you get when you go to get on the mat, that's when the real results are going to happen and the real lasting change is going to happen.
Yeah, well, some days you just want it easy because it's a lot easier to go through a McDonald's drive-thru than it is to make a salad. You know, it's just it's easy to get tired and just to say, I just want something easy today.
In society, we have, as a society, tend to, put certain people on pedestals, celebrities, musicians, actors, actresses, sports people. And we look at these people as almost like they're the ideal human beings, as if they're flawless entities, just strive for. But there is no perfect people, and there's no people who just don't struggle. That just doesn't exist. And if you introduce me to a person that never has struggles and never has down days, then I want to kill it with fire because it's not human and it's probably not supposed to be on this world. But that happens in any walk of life. Even like Bob Dylan, the most prolific songwriter in history, has released terrible records. You can't be on all the time. You can't have that motivation. You can't have all that creativity. You can't always be winning all the time. Life is ebb and flow, ups and down, wax and wanes. And, we have those high moments and we appreciate them, but I feel like a lot of the work and true self improvement happens in our lowest moments.
Yeah, just a thought on what you said earlier is that, I've met a ton of celebrities in my time and gotten to know them, and they are just as fucked up as we are.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and they're just people. It's the celebrity thing is an invented notion.
There's no difference between them and your next door neighbor. It's just they have the only difference between them and you is that they have a cooler job.
Yeah.
And the zeros after their paycheck.
And that really just bothers me. I mean, I'll flip through the channels and I'll see the celebrity news and the E! News and the TMZ, and we really are a culture of just, it's almost as if we worship perfection. The skinnier the actress, the better she is. The hotter the model, the better she is. Honestly, I mean, I say this quite a bit, and it's something I truly believe. I find that normal people bore the hell out of me. I don't want to hang out with normal people. I don't want to hang out with people who have their shit together. I would rather have a conversation with a drifter that's had a lifetime of experience and sit there and split a bottle of rum and just chat about life than just deal with the perfect specimen and have a conversation about how perfect we are. I find flawed people interesting, and that's what's, everyone is somewhat flawed. None of us are above anybody, and I'm just as screwed up as any of you, probably more so. I'm pretty content with saying that. But we worship perfection. We try to put people on pedestals and act like they're, virgin, white dress, beautiful, perfect specimens.
Well, I mean, I got to jump on my little soapbox here because especially for like younger people, children, the idea of there being like normal people is just, I think it's damaging because we our entire lives, we pursue whatever that ideal is. And normal is not an idea that should be attributed to people. That's like, you attribute that to like manufacturing and cars and something you mass manufacture, because for people there are so many variables with us. There's like what 22,000 genes per person or chromosomes, but there are, we're just a huge variety, so there is no normal.
That's a great point.
So
therefore nobody's not okay. We're all okay.
Yeah, so I don't care how screwed up you are or how normal you think you are, we're all on the same playing field. I mean, there really is. That's something that we should never attribute to people, because there is no such thing as normal when it comes to us.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, social media kind of contributes to the problem, because in social media we can, I mean, Robert, Stacy, you're my friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Virtually, you see the me that I want you to see. I can be, I can be anybody on Facebook. My life can be perfect. I can be happy all the time, up all the time. All my pictures can be edited to suit my, you know, idea that I want you to have of me. I put up a Facebook post a couple months ago, and I really kind of, you know, got a response from a lot of people. And I just went on there and said probably about – I mean, it was really actually uncomfortable for me to do, but I said probably about 10 or 12 just shitty things about me, like things I'm embarrassed to say about me, but they're true. Like things that I don't like about myself, like things that I'm a bad friend, and then just like, you know, just, you know, things that people don't want people to know about them. And then I kind of prefaced it with, but you'll never know that because on Facebook I'm happy and go lucky all the time. But we really do. We look at other people's Facebook pages and Twitter accounts, and we see that they're always having fun and partying and smiling, and we kind of crave that life that we see other people have, when that's not a reality, because, you know, they're just as screwed up as I am, and you're just as screwed up as I am. Stacy, you're as screwed up as I am. Robert, you're screwed up as I am. And we kind of hide behind.
We all have our, I know what you're saying, we all have our stuff. We all have our flaws and our baggage, and you're right. I think, you know, any kind of social media venue, you put your best foot forward, and it does kind of, I think what you were trying to do, Mike, was diffuse some of the inadequacy and the envy that can be fostered by seeing smiling face after smiling face, and all, you know, it almost gets to be too much. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you said, when you said that about your Facebook page, you know, my first thought was, you know, I bet Jeffrey Dahmer would have had a really cool Facebook page because, no, seriously, because none of his neighbors knew he was, like, anything out of the ordinary. So what you're talking about, that public face, is something that everyone does. But, yeah. I mean, he'd probably have a pretty happening, have a lot of friends on there. And, you know, it's people show you what they want you to see, and that's something we all do.
Oh, absolutely. I'm guilty of it. And I spent time out in Hollywood. I moved out there for a year, and I got, you know, I got to, you know, go on tour with a bunch of musicians and really cool, you know, people that I envied and stuff like that. And when I saw what they were like in real life, just these strung out junkies and just sycophants and liars, and but then you look on their social media and they're just, you know, charitable and, you know, everything is perfect, and we put our best foot forward. And, you know, as human beings, that's kind of a defense mechanism. We don't, you know, we feel vulnerable when people see our flaws. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, social media has contributed to that idea that we all need to be, you know, perfect and almost phony to each other. I mean, Stacy, I don't know one bad thing about you. Robert, I know many bad things about you, but, you know, we all have our issues. but we don't, you know, we're not forward, and we feel vulnerable when we're exposed. Therefore, social media is kind of like a mask that we hide behind at times.
Yeah, well, I mean, because that goes back to the original point, and to, like, wrap everything up in a pretty little present, is that whatever you're going through, however screwed up you think your life is, you look at it at social media and you look at the world and everyone seems like they're having a great day and for lack of a better term, they're normal. Just remember that people will only show you the face that they want you to see, and they want you to think their life is great. And not that it's not, but we all have our struggles.
Yeah, you're not alone. Seriously, everyone on GDP Yoga that I've read through on the Facebook page, on teamgdpyoga.com, everyone that's struggling, you know, getting their head straight around their diet, getting around exercising, dealing with their own personal things, you're not alone. It may not be the same thing for me as it is for you, and it may not be the same thing as for you as it is for Stacy, but we all have our things. We all have our cross to bear. We all have our things we deal with, and we deal with them, and that's what makes us stronger. You know, the fact that we recognize our faults and we're coming to you and saying, listen, I'm having a hard time right now. The fact that you're coming to a community and looking for support for people who, I mean, I have so many people on Team DDP Yoga that I have never met in my life and I truly, and I mean truly, care about. Like, you know, it's kind of a weird dynamic to have, like, feelings of, like, empathy and caring for someone so much that you've never even, you know, experienced face-to-face. And there's so many people that give a damn about you out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because I met Josh at the PC Grand Opening, and I've spent hours talking to him on the phone, and it was like I already knew him. But it's amazing how many people I talk to like that I've never met. I mean, and you know, that's the first category. The second category is the people I wish I hadn't met. And that's just Mike.
No, but you know, I think we're raising a really good point, and social media is something I think everybody in this community is hooked into.
Yes.
And it really, I had to really reflect on this a while ago. I'm like, you know, all right, enough with the, you know, the rah-rah, everything's great. I mean, sometimes it is, but I stopped doing it as frequently because I have a theory that the more somebody tries to project everything's great, everything's fine all the time, the more full of shit they are. So, you know, and it's a cover, I think. And not that anyone's being, you know, a horrible person or deliberately deceptive, but it's the way we're conditioned as a culture. It's not socially acceptable to talk about our pain, you know, to admit to it. And we're just, we're all out there responding to that faulty, you know, way of living, because what does that get you, you know, when you project that everything's fine when it's not? You know, so I really try not to be negative. And if I'm going to be quote negative, it's got to have a purpose. You know, I think too many people go on there just to bitch about little mundane things. But I've done some honest, you know, writing, and I've, you know, I tell people that are struggling, and one, I can't think of the guy's name. It was a while ago, but he was really down on himself. He was going through a dark period, and he was mistreating people close to him, and that made him very sad, and he just thought he was the worst person on earth. And I said, listen, buddy, I'm not just a recovering American, I'm a recovering asshole. I mean, it's true. I was a very unhappy, mean person.
You want to know something negative about Stacey? There you go.
Yeah. But I've had to really work on that. I've had to ask people for forgiveness from my past, that I, you know, when I was 300 pounds, I was not a happy person, and I lashed out at people. And I relate to that. I know what that's like. But if you don't recognize it, you're in just deep shit, you know. But if you're at that point where you're like, wow, I don't like what I'm doing, I don't like the way I'm treating this person or whatever, that's your ticket out, because you've recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about, you know, social media, and I'm going to reveal something about myself, that's, you know, me being vulnerable and stuff like that. Social media had become an issue for me, not just like, you know, addicted to going on social media, because I usually just post and then, like, you know, go away. I don't really do much of the scrolling through the timeline and commenting on stuff. But I find myself looking at stuff, and I found social media was making me unhappy. And not only unhappy, I was becoming extremely cynical, and I didn't like the person I was being. And like a few days ago, I kind of took a step back, and I kind of had to distance myself from social media. So I took a few days off, posted a couple things about music or whatever. But just seeing all the, you know, the negativity and the complaining and the two sides of political, you know, debates going at each other with, you know, just with rusty knives, and just all the cynicalness on Facebook, and it really just it was affecting my life in a negative way, and I was becoming the person that I didn't want to be. I was getting in arguments with people that I thought were ridiculous, and I was being I just didn't like how I was portraying myself on social media. So I kind of had to take a step back. And sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we need to detox from social media, because as much as we see, oh, everything's perfect all the time, there's a lot of people just very cynical and just unhappy and unkind on Facebook.
I think that's a great idea, to take a step back when you need to. My first course of action is I just start to not follow the news feeds of negative people. And I use it, you know, it can be used for positive stuff and to help others. So when someone needs prayers or good thoughts, you know, their loved ones are going through illnesses or operations or whatever, I'm there to do, you know, give encouragement. And I've been doing every few weeks, you know, through Google Hangouts, I work out with Travis. And I know other people get together on Google to work out. So there's like, there are good things that can be done through this. And it's really up to us to discern where's our limit, you know, what's too much, what's too negative, and protect yourself, you know, because it will affect you if you get too deeply into it.
Yeah, it's funny that you guys say that, because like about probably 2-3 weeks ago, I was doing the same thing, because on my timeline there was always all this negativity and this ignorance and this just ridiculous bullshit on there, and I was just like, I don't want to deal with this, you know, because there were people that were on there that were part of the community and I value, but I don't really care their opinions. Let's just say we're kind of oil and water in that sense. So I went through and I just started unfollowing. Just stuff I didn't want to see, and I enjoy Facebook so much more now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's not to say I don't appreciate a different point of view, and I can't respect a different point of view than me. But you know, I mean, first of all, I stopped accepting friend requests. And I don't mean to be a jerk or anything like that, but I get a lot of people who listen to the show that I don't know from the DDP Yoga community that friend request me. And it became a personal thing. And if you want to follow me on Mike at 90% on Facebook, I'm glad to have you. But it was to the point where I have a sense of humor that not everybody gets. I'm very sardonic. I can be very sardonic and sarcastic, almost to a fault. But you know, it comes across differently to some people. And the people who know and love me, you know, get it and understand it. And you know, they laugh at it. But to some people, it can be a point of contention. And it was becoming too much trouble than it was worth. And you know, I'm not going to – I mean, if I joke up with you about your bad taste in music or the terrible movie you're watching, it's completely done in jest. Because that's how me and my friends are when we hang out. We rag on each other and they make fun of me for my music. I make fun of – but that's, you know, that's the guy thing. But you know, to some people that comes across as something different. So it became more of a headache. And – and I got to the point where I didn't delete anybody. All my friends that I had, I still have. But you know, the points of view I can accept. But when it's steeped in hate and ignorance, and I can't deal with that. And that's when I have to, you know, click the unfollow button. And you know, when you're in a position like this where you're dealing with so many people, there's so many different people from different walks of life, and you know, people that I haven't been around that don't share the same, you know, values as me or the same ideas as me, is kind of hard to, you know, listen to that sometimes. And sometimes you just need to cut it out of your life.
Yeah. It's, you know, cause I value them as people, as team members, as whatever, but there's just some things I don't want to see. And, you know, and that's probably why that function is there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other option is, and I do this, I've been doing this more now, is getting back to basics and heading over to Team DDP Yoga.
Yes.
That's a great site, and you can welcome people there. You can listen to some of their, you know, their tribulations and their triumphs. There are also some wonderful recipes. There must be like several hundred.
There's probably several thousand at this point.
Yeah, it's a treasure trove. And there's just a lot of good information there, and it's a nice vibe too.
Yeah, because Crystal, she's like the head moderator, and she basically runs the site now, and she does a great job of keeping the conversation going in a positive direction.
Yeah, and you know, Team DDP Yoga, you know, I know a lot of people have branched out into Facebook groups and stuff, but my biggest success in this program is, you know, 70% are attributed to TeamDDPYoga.com and the support that I received there. And You know, we stick to the cause on that site. We stick to the basics. We stick to the fundamentals and the positivity and what this program was founded on. You know, when you go on Facebook, you get to see people's personal, you know, BS rehashed, and sometimes it aggravates you. Sometimes you don't, you don't enjoy it, or it offends you, or what it may be. But on Team DDP Yoga, it seems like more of a positive vibe, and people come together for and really kind of get in touch with the reason why they came in the first place. And I'm not going to lie. I know we have Facebook groups out there, and I know that I belong to them. I unfollowed them, not to be a jerk, and I don't check in on them, but I do check in on Team DDP Yoga because that's where I feel at home. That's where I feel the most positive impact in the community is done. And if I don't, not say don't go to the Facebook groups, but you know, Team DDP Yoga is an invaluable resource, not only for positivity, but for so many resources, recipes, ideas, tips, you know, motivation, just so many different resources going back the entire, you know, length of this program. Basically, you have a library of positivity and goodwill and, you know, and tips and recipes to go back on and just explore.
You know, as far as anything social media, that's where we started. That was before we had Facebook. That was before we had Twitter. That's the very beginning of our social media footprint is teamddpyoga.com.
Yeah, and it's ground zero for everyone. We all started there, and it's very exciting to see how it's grown. And Robert, you know, every day it grows, and every day there's an influx of new members, and it's really cool to see more and more people coming on board. So it's bigger than ever. There are more resources than ever. And I think people who have been around a year or more, it's nice for the newcomers, you know, to have some people with experience to really look in and check in and say, hey, nice job, or glad you're here. You know, that goes a long way.
I cringed to think about how many people I've welcomed.
Oh my gosh.
One of my favorite things to do on Team DDP Yoga is go back and find, you know, the profiles of guys like, you know, Dave Orth and Sparky and Stacy and Arthur and so many other people, and just see the evolution of the progress and the evolution of their journey. Because everyone back in the day before there was Facebook group, that's where all the mainstays started. You could see me on my profile, Michael Mullins on Team DDP Yoga, and see from the first day that I started DDP Yoga, and I was making videos talking about listening to the radio show. You know, 4 years later, I didn't think I'd be on here. You know, I mean, it's just an amazing. You know, I've been here 4 years. I consider myself pretty involved and engulfed in the community and steeped in this community. And you know, people look to me as a co-host of this radio show. And think, you know, people look to me for advice, and they look to Stacy for advice, and they look to Robert, and they, you know, look up to us in a way to kind of help guide them. But if you go on Team DDP Yoga and go to Mike Mullins, or if you go to Stacy Morris, or if you go to Robert McLaren and click on day one, you can see where everyone has a starting point, and it kind of, you know, grounds us a little bit, and people kind of see where we started from. If I looked at you, Stacy, and this is no offense to you, seeing how well you've done and how amazing you've done and all the weight you've lost, it kind of puts you in a light of, well, she's there. She's done everything there is to do. But if you go down to Stacy Morris's profile on Team DDP Yoga and click on week one that she was there, it kind of connects you to her story a little bit and realize she's human and she did this, and this is something that I can do.
Yeah, you know, in a way it's like a scrapbook. It's literally an archive, and we can all go back and look at, you know, week one and how vulnerable we were, excited we were, whatever, and how that has evolved over time. Everyone's got their starting point, and it's all right there. I mean, if you want inspiration, that is a literal catalog of it.
And since we're talking about what makes it run, because I mentioned Crystal, but I would be remorseful if I didn't mention guys like Roger Lowry, Nolan Bobbitt, and especially Dave Orth, those guys are there welcoming people every single day. I mean, Dave, especially, we're in Mexico. do in the retreat, and he's still getting online to make sure that he welcomes everybody. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
And Dave was probably the most influential person in my journey. Dave started right before me, and we've said this before. You know, when I started, it was you, Robert, Sparky, Dave, and maybe one or two other people in the chat room just
Doug.
Milling around.
Doug.
Yeah, Doug. And just, you know, just when I joined Team DDP Yoga, there was probably about 5,000 members on there, Team DDP Yoga. And, you know, that had been going back for a few years. And to see, like, the magnitude of what the site has blown up to. And I know I've told Dallas this in person. When I started Team DDP Yoga, when I started DDP Yoga, it wasn't this huge fitness, you know, juggernaut that it is today. Arthur Borman's story didn't come out. The Jake the Snake story didn't come out. The Scott Hall story didn't come out. We were just a little engine that could community that was passionate about what we did. And, you know, I don't have a financial stake in DDP Yoga. I don't own stock. I don't have a percentage of the company. But I feel like I have an emotional investment in it because I've seen where it started, and I came in before everything, you know, blew up. And to see this, you know, grow and become what it has, you know, I feel like I'm winning when DDP Yoga wins because I invested in a program that I believed in, and it's going out to so many more people and changing so many lives, just becoming so much bigger on a grand scale. And it's empowering and inspiring to see this little engine that could program, you know, do this. We've talked, you know, Robert, we've talked about this on air. You know, it wasn't always, you know, sunshine and roses for Dallas. I mean, I've talked to Dallas, and I'm not going to say on air, you know, what he told me, things that he told me, but this program was on the verge of just, I can't do this anymore. It wasn't always just this big financial success.
Mm-hmm.
There were tough times.
No, this was a go for broke, go for failure, you know, opportunity. It's basically put whatever you have into it and let's do it. And you know, we may fail, but, you know, and this is our last chance. Because Dallas had gone, you got to understand, he started with YRG. And then, you know, that did decent. And then we went to YRG Fitness. And that the company behind it pushed it for a little while, and then they really backed off. They never really did anything again.
Mm.
So Dallas bought back the rights to it, turned it into DDP Yoga. And it was like, okay, this is the last shot. Either it works or it doesn't.
And, yeah. You know, Dallas made quite a bit of money in wrestling. You know, we all know he signed, you know, $1 million contracts. He talks about it all the time. But people don't realize that he put all his eggs in it. This was an ultimate gamble. You know, you talk about Vince McMahon, you know, wrestling, you know, analogy, in the first WrestleMania. He put his future, his financial future, in the hands of something he believed in and he believed would affect the masses and influence and inspire people. He put all his money into that basket and said, you know what, worst case scenario, I don't do it, but I tried, and I gave it a shot, and I gave it a real honest shot. And that's Dallas Page. He put his financial nest egg that he got into wrestling, he put his financial stability and future into DDP Yoga because he believed in it, and you know, worst case scenario, I gave it my best shot, I tried, and it was a gamble.
A big gamble, and also, aside from the gamble, which was big, he had to really weather those, what we were talking about earlier, those non-honeymoon phases of life, you know?
There were a lot of those.
Yeah, a lot of them. And he, you know, fortunately, it doesn't seem to be in his mental, you know, makeup or in his programming to give up, but it was very, some days were very daunting, very discouraging. And it's sometimes hard to see that now because it's just really taken off like a rocket. But it did not come quickly or easily to him.
Yeah, I like to call it an overnight success, 10 years in the making.
Exactly what it was.
I listened to a lot of those like wrestling podcasts. And Dr. Tom Pritchard, you know, Robert, you know who that is. Legendary trainer and wrestler in the WWE, had a great quote that he said on this podcast when he talked about him getting into the business. He started working for Paul Bosch, who's a Houston wrestling promoter, one of the biggest promoters of all time, when he was 12 years old. and he started in the office. And this is a time when the wrestling business was so closed off and nobody got in, especially not a 12-year-old. But he had this mentality. You know, there's three kinds of people in the world. There's the people who try and fail and said, okay, well, I tried. You know, I tried, gave my best effort, it didn't work, whatever. There's the people who half-ass it and, you know, don't really go for it, but they try and they don't get it, and, you know, whatever, I didn't get it. And then there's the people who say whatever it takes. The people who say, whatever it takes, I'm going to make this happen, and I'm not going to stop until it happens. And the people who say whatever it takes and at all cost, and those are the people who end up succeeding. And Dallas is one of those guys who won't accept no for an answer. He won't accept failure, and he's not going to lie down. He's not going to give up. Robert, you know this more than anybody. You know, every off-the-wall idea, the Performance Center, probably an off-the-wall idea. DDP Yoga, you know, blowing up viral, probably an off-the-wall idea. Moving Jake the Snake Roberts, one of the people with the worst track records in the professional wrestling history, taking a shot on him, putting his company's name on the line, and changing his life. So many people thought that wasn't a good idea, including myself. But he's one of those people.
And when you mention those two things specifically, you've got to give a lot of credit to Steve Yu as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I had a great conversation with Steve in Mexico a couple years ago. Katie and I were sitting there and with Dave Worth talking about it, and he was telling us, he's like, we're thinking about moving Jake into Atlanta. Dallas just bought a really cool house in Atlanta. We're going to move Jake in, try to get him back on his feet, help him out a little bit. You know, and I will remember, and I will admit this, and I will say this to Jake the Snake Roberts' face. I said to Steve Yu, Jake the Snake has a terrible track record. I don't think you want to put the company's name on the line, because if something goes wrong, if something goes horribly wrong, he's going to be associated with DDP Yoga. He's going to be on the website. It's going to be an internet footprint for the rest of his life that Jake the Snake Roberts was a DDP Yoga, you know, guy. But Steve said Dallas believes in him. He wants to give him a shot. And I didn't think it was a good idea. He doesn't have a good track record. But the fact that he took a gamble on him and chose his friend and his mentor over good business. Because let's face it, bringing the Jake the Snake Roberts in at that time was not good business. But, you know, he has that mentality that, you know, you're not going to tell me this can't work, and I'm going to make it work. And that's just a quality that very few people in this world have.
You know, think about this. When we released the Arthur video, Dallas didn't like it because it didn't say DDP Yoga anywhere. He wanted to put it, you know, DDP Yoga all over the place so people would know where it came from. And Steve said no. I mean, they had a couple of pretty strong talks about this. And Steve said, no, we want to see if we can inspire people. So Steve left anything DDP Yoga related off on the video and put it in the description. Mm-hmm. Now, if he hadn't have done that, there's a good chance that video never went viral. And if that video never went viral, Jake never happens. Mm-hmm. The PC never happens. Mm-hmm. Shark Tank never happens. It's little things like that that can change everything.
That's an awesome point. And I said that to Steve the first time I ever met Steve. It was right after the video went viral. And that's an awesome point, Robert. I think the most brilliant idea that they had about that Arthur video was not mentioning DDP Yoga. Because as soon as you attach it to a company, no matter how good the company's intentions are, no matter how, you know, inspiring and awesome the company is, as soon as you attach a logo to it, it becomes suspect, and people tune it out like you're trying to sell them something.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve, the only thing, he didn't want it to go, he didn't set out to make it viral. He didn't set out to build a company. He set out to say, hey, let's see if we can inspire people, mm-hmm. and this story can do it. And that was it, and that was the seed. And if it wasn't for that, mm-hmm. we would be sitting in a very different place right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And that just proves how the DDP Yoga Company is Diamond Dallas Page Yoga, but there is a team of amazing people that we have working here that are just equally as important. You know, Diamond Dallas Page is the front. He's the guy on the commercials. He's the guy on the media. He's doing the interviews. But it's a complete team effort, and so many people in this company, and especially you, Robert, And so many people like Steve and Nathan and Garrett and you know, and Chris and Dylan and just everybody. I don't want to name anybody else because I'm going to forget some people. But everyone brings a unique piece of the puzzle and has made this company. And I don't think with if we removed a single element of that company, I don't think it would be where it is today because so many people had equal hands in making this what it was.
Absolutely. And there was a lot of people who put a lot of different efforts into a lot of different things that made the Arthur video. It wasn't just Steve, but Steve stood by his guns and said, let's do it this way. And that's the way that worked. But there was a lot of people other than Steve, like Dallas, of course, and Arthur and Warren and Marlon, in a sense, and all these different people contributed to that. But so it's like everything else that we do. I mean, no matter how good because they're filming the new DVDs and they're doing the app now, so no matter how good those videos are, a lot of credit can go to Dallas, obviously, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. So no matter, everything we do is a group effort, and we've got a lot of talented people that help do those things.
Absolutely. It's truly a team.
Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about business in the past, like, 20 minutes, and the business aspect of DDP Yoga, but it all leads to a point. And it all leads to the point of, if you put your all into something, and if you don't accept no for an answer, if you say whatever it takes, and if you believe in an idea, and if you believe in a goal, whether it's to lose 30 pounds, whether it's to lose 300 pounds, whether it's to, you know, get a degree in education, to land that job, the promotion, if you put everything you have into something, and if you are inspired and motivated and determined enough to see your goals through, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but there really is nothing, you know, that's out of our reach. You know, some things may be highly improbable, but, you know, even the biggest, you know, far left wing, right wing, you know, far out there ideas are achievable. And that's what we wanted to get across with us tonight. You know, we talked about a few different things, social media and the business of DDP Yoga, but it's all revolved around, you know, a single thing. And that's, you know, you have the power within you to achieve amazing things. And we as human beings, and we talked about this last week, Robert, after Stacy left, especially, you know, living in the country we live in and having the opportunities that we have here in this country. And this isn't like a rah-rah, go USA thing, but, you know, we pretty much won the lottery being born here and seeing the struggles that other people deal with. And the fact that we have this opportunity, you know, handed in our lap, you know, we owe it to the people who don't have this opportunity to make the most of it. Because if not, we're just wasting it, and it's almost selfish.
Yeah, and I like to think of it more as a developed nation or part of our North American continent, instead of being lucky enough to born in America. Because obviously, being born in Canada is you're pretty damn lucky too. And
yeah.
You know, So, I think of it as more of a first world thing, but there's a lot of things that we take for granted that we shouldn't.
Oh, yeah. We have so much freedom, and we have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of luxuries and a lot of cool things in our lives coming from this part of the world. And it's true, if you really believe in yourself and see it through, you can accomplish just about anything. But if you're at that phase, if you're at a low phase, in a slump, struggling, whatever, sometimes it's just enough to hang on, you know, hang on, get through the day, pick, you know, don't overwhelm yourself, pick one thing you're going to do to give yourself a leg up for your health, whether it's, okay, I'm going to drink water today instead of diet soda, or I'm going to do a 25-minute workout, just one little thing. You know, and just to get through it, just, you know, slumps, sometimes they go on for a bit. Sometimes they're just a day. But if it's a prolonged slump, you got to hang on. You know, that's the best you can do.
Absolutely. And to wrap things up, we're about at our time. I enjoyed this conversation. We kind of just went with it and just took it to places that we didn't know we were taking it to. But it really is. It's humbling to think, you know, if you're listening to the show, if you're on DDP Radio, you have internet access, which means you're way ahead of a lot of the world. And it's humbling for people like us. You know, I hear people complaining on Facebook and saying everything sucks, or the negativity out there. It's pretty humbling to think that on my worst day, on my absolute worst day, there is somebody who would gladly give everything they have to switch places with me. Mm-hmm. And we have it so good, and we have the opportunities afforded to us to pretty much be what we want to be and achieve what we want to achieve. And if you take anything out of this, you know, this conversation today, just realize that you owe it to yourself to explore those opportunities and try to get everything you can out of these opportunities. Like I said, it's selfish if you don't. And that's what we do here at DDP Yoga. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity and the tools that are given to us to change our lives. And what we do with them is up to us. And we need to realize that the power is in our hands. And thank you, Stacy and Robert, for your invaluable insight. And we'll be back next week with another episode of DDP Radio right here at ddpradio.com. Anything else to add?
Nope, I think I'm good.
No, just keep on going. You know, keep going. Don't turn back. Don't tell yourself any negative stories that it's over. We all have slumps. DDP has slumps. He gets through it. He doesn't give up. So just hang on, okay? And and the community's here for you.
Absolutely. So reach out. Hit up Team DDP Yoga for Stacy Morris, for Robert McLaren. My name is Mike Mullins. So take advantage of every opportunity that's in your way and never, ever, ever, ever give up. See you guys.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Into the Diamond Cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work and, most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.